I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Our current podcast series focuses on one of radio's greatest and most special assets, our on-air talent. As we like to say, radio is the original social medium, and its on-air personalities are the original social media influencers. With many of the radio influencers having greater reach and followers than that of other media, what really makes them special is they have incredibly strong ties to local communities that's based on a foundation of trust and emotional connection. As individuals who educate, entertain, and inform, radio influencers have the power to impact and affect behavior and brand consideration. And on a daily basis, they create environments that connect their audiences with businesses to help drive brand awareness and increase sales for those businesses, products, and services. In our 15th episode of this series, we hear the conversation I had with Kelly Raspberry, co-host of the nationally syndicated Kid Craddock Morning Show, based out of Dallas and syndicated by Yay Networks. Kelly just celebrated her 29th anniversary on the show, and she, along with Big Al Mack, Jay-Z, part-time Justin, and Anna, continue the legacy of the founder of the show, Kid Craddock, who hosted the show until his untimely death 10 years ago. So, Kelly, the Kid Craddock Morning Show is so unusual because of... Well, first of all, you're celebrating, and I don't even know if celebrating is the right word, but it's been 10 years.
I guess commemorating is the right word, right?
Much better word, commemorating Kid, who we lost, sadly, 10 years ago, and you were part of his morning show.
Yeah, it was July 27th, and it's hard to believe. In some ways, it feels like forever ago, and some ways it feels like he's going to come walking through the studio door any minute, you know? It's really very strange, but I spent 19 years as his radio wife, and so when he passed away, it was almost like, I guess I sort of felt like what it must feel like to be a widow,
right?
Because I really felt like I lost my radio husband. It was more than just somebody I worked with, you know?
And how unusual it is, in such a beautiful way, that this show continues to grow, be successful, and it's still branded as the Kid Craddock Show.
Yeah, we only made a slight adjustment. It used to be called Kid Craddock in the Morning. And then, you know, when he passed away, and there was a lot of, you know, there are a lot of question marks if we'd even still continue as a show. But when we made the decision to try, we couldn't imagine not having his name on it. We thought, you know, we didn't think our audience would accept that, number one, because they were so deeply moved and they were grieving right along with us. So we had to keep his name as a part of that. But the sad thing is, you know, we're based out of Dallas, so we have so many people that are moving to Texas, and now they're hearing the Kid Craddock name, and they're not familiar with the history.
So now
we're having to explain to a new audience who he is, because we don't want his legacy to die with the new generation.
Right.
And luckily, we still have so many. Every time I go out now, it's becoming more and more common for people to come up to me and say, I was listening when I was, you know, a little girl in the backseat of my mom's car, and now here's my child, and we listen together. Oh. So we're generational at this point.
Share a little bit about the team that you work with.
Well, I've been there the longest. I just celebrated my 29th anniversary in May, which is hard to believe.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. My big 30th next year, I told my boss, they gave me a big party for my 25th anniversary. I said, I don't want anything. I don't want a bonus. I just want a party. But for my 30th, I said, I think I might want that bonus, but we'll see. We'll see. I just saw everybody 5 years ago, but Big Al Mack, he came to the show shortly after I did. He did radio commercials, live spots. He put all his money into these live spots. He had a limousine business, and he was just so fun on the radio that Kid brought him on the show, and he became more and more a regular part of the show that he became a permanent fixture. So he's been there about 28 years. Huh. JC, when Kid passed away, he took over captaining our ship. So he came when I was pregnant with my daughter, and she's 16 now. So he's been there about 17, almost 18 years. And he's done a really great job. I can't imagine anybody else. I know there was talk of bringing in somebody else to our morning show family, but you just can't plug anybody in and expect there to be chemistry. And, you know, we already had history together and the chemistry, and it took a while to find our footing and, you know, re-jostling our positions on the show, but I think made the right move keeping JC. And then after Kid passed away, we have interns that come in and work for us. And that's where, you know, Kid loved discovering, you know, new talent. He wanted to bring on people that, you know, he saw something in them that he could mentor. And so it was really fun to be able to have people who interned for our show now be long-term members. And that would be part-time Justin and Anna, who's on our show now. So that's the core five of us.
That's fantastic. And what do you think makes your show different from other morning teams?
Well, I guess it's kind of hard to say because I'm in it. But I really think that we have a true love for each other, that we truly are like family, that Kid was just a genius in putting all of us together, because there is no way that any one of us would have, you know, crossed paths or connected in life, but he saw something. There was like something special in each one of us, something very unique and different that works, you know? And if we all thought the same, laughed the same, you know, did the same thing, it would just be boring. So we do have conflicts. But I think also, I don't think our audience minds when we kind of get into it a little bit. Kind of have, you know, butt heads, because we're family and families argue from time to time, but you know, there's love there.
Absolutely.
And you feel a lot of that bickering and a little picking, even though we do get called, you know, you be a little bit too hard on Big Al. I hear that all the time. I'm like, do y'all not hear how he talks to me? But they forgive a lot of things because they know there's a true love there. And we weren't just thrown together. You have a couple of out of work, you know, personalities. Let's form a show and see how it goes. No, we have history there. And I think maybe that sets us apart.
So with an ensemble cast like that, how do you prep for your show?
Very, very lucky that we have a lot of people, our producers. We have Trey in the back and Robert, and they do a lot of research for us as far as, you know, we do a lot of celebrity gossip stories. We're female targeted for the most part, so we still care about the celebrity news. So we have a lot of that that's prepped for us. But basically, the kid always told me, go out and live an interesting life and come back and talk about it. You know, everybody can regurgitate the same. We can all talk about the Lizzo scandal. We can all talk about the royal family and, you know, give our own takes on it.
Right.
And that's interesting. And it is, you know, people do want to hear our perspectives on those stories, but they also, you know, there's a lot of, you know, people out there living a little vicariously through us. Now, the weird thing about our show right now is we are all in committed relationships, every single one of us. So we got to do something about that. Either somebody's got to, we got to bring on somebody who's out there single and dating, or somebody's going to have to break up. They're going to have to give it up for the show.
Uh-oh.
Because we're all in happy relationships, you know, and
that's funny.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Anna just got married, so she'll have the, but they've lived together for so long. So it's like, is there going to be that big of an adjustment for them? Or, but you know, that's the whole thing was Kid said, live an interesting life and talk about it.
I love that.
And that's what, you know, that's about, you know, I still do the celebrity gossip and things like that, but that's the best show prep.
You know, communicating with your audience has really changed over the years in that your listeners used to just listen on a traditional radio, and now they're listening to you on multiple listening devices and streaming you, et cetera. But does that change the way you communicate? Do you think about that?
I should think about it a little more. We, you know, Anna and Justin, you know, let's be honest, I'm getting older and it's not, I know it should be more of a priority for me to make these reels and do TikToks and all that, but that's not my passion, you know, and I could do it, but I don't want to. That's how sound horrible. I don't want to do that anymore. But, you know, we have Anna, who's really passionate about creating that social media content. And we do need that element because we do need to attract the younger audiences into that. Mm-hmm. As far as my generation, you know, I do a lot of DMing. That's really how I communicate, because if I'm DMing with the listeners who find me on social media, we have such a personal connection and they really like that. So I'll post things, but I think the most important thing for me is I just can't post it and walk away. I have to post it and then engage.
Right.
So I don't want anybody to feel like ignored. Because they feel like they're in a relationship with me, and we are. Mm-hmm. We are in a relationship, but I have to be an active participant in that relationship. So I need to post more. This is me wrist slapping myself. I need to post more content. But like I said, I do engage a lot. I give out my personal email address all the time. People are like, you're crazy to do that. I was like, why? I mean, I've never had any real issues with that. I don't give out my personal phone number, and that's a different thing. But, right. You know, I believe in that communication. So that's how I communicate with the audience.
Well, and you've also, not only through social media, but you've extended Kelly Raspberry with podcasts, because you have several podcasts, do you not?
I do two right now.
Right.
And
that's a lot. Yeah,
that is a lot. And I have a couple of people who've come to me wanting to launch another podcast or two. And I was like, y'all, I just don't know if I have the energy to do it, or the time, really. It's about time management. You can do anything you want to do.
Right.
You can do anything you want to do. It's just a matter of scheduling it, right? And so that's really something I just need to decide if I want to take on more. But right now I do a podcast with my husband, Alan. We launched it about a month before we got married 6 years ago or so, because we were going to talk about blending families. You know, he had his children, I had mine, we were coming together. And we could only talk about that for so long. So now we just talk about anything we want to. But initially it started off as a podcast about blending families.
Right.
And then my other podcast, that one's called A Sandwich and Some Lovin'. Let me give you a plug there, Kelly. A Sandwich and Some Lovin'. It's the whole premise is men only need two things to be happy in a relationship, food and sex. But you can't call it that. So we called it A Sandwich and Some Lovin'. A little tongue in cheek there. But the other podcast I do is called Love Letters to Kelly. And this is a segment I've done on the Kid Craddock Morning Show for, gosh, almost as long as I've been there, like 27, 28 years. Kid made me start giving advice. I didn't want to give advice. I was in my 20s. I'm like, I don't know anything. But he liked that I would, you know, I had no filter. I was very black and white. As I've gotten older, I've seen a little bit more shades of gray, you know, as you get more life experience. But it's such a popular segment of our show that we turned that into a podcast. So those are the two I do, Love Letters to Kelly and A Sandwich and Some Lovin'.
Love that. That's fantastic. With all of this going on and, you know, and the number of years you've been doing this, Kelly, why is radio so important to you?
It's, you know, I know for us, we are a part of so many people's memories. There's some nostalgia to us. And I really appreciate that, because I have such warm, fuzzy memories about the DJs I listened to growing up. And I just appreciate radio personalities. I appreciate that so much. And, you know, I used to, you know, hit that play record button on my cassette player on the weekends, and I would record Rick Dees and I'd record Casey Kasem, and you know, they were my heroes. And then to get to work in this business, I never really imagined that for myself as a child. And now I'm a part of that. And so to think that I have other kids that grew up listening to me that have those warm, fuzzy feelings about me.
Right.
And I don't mean that to sound egotistical. I mean, I love being a part of people's memories and a part of their history. You know, a lot of parents say the only time my kids and I get along is when we're in the car listening to your show. Mm-hmm. That's a good warm fuzzy. And I feel like I'm making a difference. And I know a lot of us sometimes we're like, we're just in radio. We're just being, you know, a bunch of goofballs making, you know, doing silly things, but we are making a difference. We're bringing some light into people's lives during very dark times. I had a waiter the other day who almost was in tears just this past week telling me, I don't have time to talk to you right now. I just want you to know you got me through some of the hardest times of my life. And I'm like, you know what? That'll get me through another couple years of work. Absolutely. Getting up this early every day. That's
well,
why I do.
Having that special connection with your listeners must be pretty meaningful.
It is, because I think a lot of us spend our lives, you know, and I spent my 20s and my 30s and a good deal of my 40s. What is my purpose? Why am I here? Should I be doing more? And the whole time I was doing it. And I didn't even, you know, sometimes I think as radio personalities or whatever you do, when it comes so naturally to you, I don't know how I do what I do. I just talk for a living and things come out of my mouth and people appreciate it or they don't. And I've made a really great career out of it. But I didn't realize that whole time that what came so naturally and it felt like easy to me was I was just living my purpose.
Right.
Now in hindsight, I can see that. I wish I'd recognized it earlier, but it's good to know it now.
Well, and when you think about it, you know, everyone can talk, but being on the radio for 3 or 4 hours a day, that's really hard. And every time you open that mic, sounding engaged and having something that you can interact with, whether it's with your team or your audience, that is a real gift that you have.
Well, you know, not every day is a great day. And that's why you have, you know, that's why I love being part of a rather large ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was just two people and, you know, one of you's having a bad day, it is really evident. But, you know, with five of us there, we can kind of camouflage if somebody's going through something. You know, nobody wants to hear about, you know, every once in a while we do share our deep, dark stuff on the radio because it's real.
Right.
But there's other people that I can like, you know what, I'm just not on the ball today. And they'll pick up that slack for me. So that really helps to have that kind of safety net. But I still need to remind myself that, you know, people are looking to us to escape from their problems, not to have us pile on. So
yeah,
I try really, as tired as I am some days, just to get an extra cup of coffee, do a few jumping jacks, and let's go.
We all know that, of course, our success is measured by how many people are listening to you. But at the same time, our advertisers are incredibly important to us and certainly to you and your team. If you had 30 seconds to speak with an advertiser about this special relationship that you have with your audience, what would you say to them?
Well, I think I have the most personal, again, it sounds like I'm bragging. It's just facts. I have the most endorsements on our show.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there so long because people trust what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to lie. I'd rather just not say anything, but people believe what I'm saying is true. So I have that relationship with the audience. So when I endorse something, there is weight with that. There's something to that. And so I do have that connection with the audience. I also like to tell the advertisers, it's not so much bogging down in the minutiae. I mean, give me some time to, you know, show some of my personality. You're hiring me to endorse your product. So don't you want some of my personality in your spot? They want me to cram this sale, this website, this phone number, this tagline, and you got 30 seconds to do it. Oh, and put your own spin on it, Kelly. I don't have time.
Sometimes they're asking you to say too much in that.
Yes.
Period. Yeah.
Yes. It's more about, you know what, I'm endorsing this company. Take my word for it. They're awesome. Just give me some time to, if you're hiring me to put my stamp of approval on it and to endorse your product, then let me show some of my personality.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do have such a good relationship with the audience that they trust me. And when I endorse something, they hopefully will take my advice and buy it or sign up for it.
Have you ever turned down a product or service that wanted to work with you?
I do. It's just not genuine to me. Kid was alive. He had a real problem with laser hair removal services. He said no. And you know, that's bread and butter for so many radio stations is women's grooming, you know, and,
sure.
And you know, facials and stuff and spa services. He said no to any laser hair removal because I think it made him gag a little. So now we get to do those kinds of things. So, but I try to stick to products that make sense. You know, if I can tie it in. So now, you know, for me, I maybe would have never done a commercial for a motorcycle dealership. You know, why? I have nothing to do with motorcycles. Now I'm married to a man that's a motorcycle enthusiast. So there has to be a connection for me.
Right.
It has to make sense in some way. Otherwise, I might as well just be any random person reading your commercial copy.
Well, and your listeners would know if you weren't being honest with them too.
Yeah, I think they know based on my personality. Like, I'm known for being, they call me cheap. I call it being sensible. I mean, I'm just sensible. I mean, I will spend money on certain things, but also my favorite thing to do is just hang out, you know, in the 99 cents only store. I think that is fun. And, you know, going bargain shopping in Nordstrom Rack, that's fun for me. So if I come on and start, you know, advertising for some designer bougie purse line, nobody's going to buy that, because if I'm carrying a designer purse, everybody's going to think it's fake. So why buy a real one? Because everybody knows I'm not going to spend that kind of money, you know?
That's
so it
funny.
Has to be, it has to resonate with the audience. Oh yeah, Kelly would do that. Uh-huh. Nobody thinks I'm going to go shopping and dropping, you know, these, you know, $1,000 on a pair of shoes. That's just not my personality.
That's fascinating. That's so funny. And how do you measure success on when you're working with an advertiser?
Ooh, well, I mean, I guess they tell me when it's working. I mean, I guess that's how I measure it. Mm-hmm. I don't really call to say, how's it going? Is there anything I can tweak or anything? Maybe I should check in a little more often. How's it going? You just gave me something to think about. Maybe I should check in more often. I guess the proof to me is they keep signing up year after year.
Right.
And there's like, I just got a new advertiser that I'm going to start working with tomorrow. It's the first time he's doing, you know, female oriented radio. He's always targeted male talk shows, you know, news talk, sports talk. This is the first time he's ever tried using a female spokesperson on a female driven radio station. So there's a lot riding on that.
Can you share the product?
It's a mortgage business.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you've got to get out, you know, back in the day, who bought houses, who paid the mortgages, who handled all that? That would be men. So he was very smart to focus on sports and news talk and all that. Well, now who's buying the houses and who's taking care of the bills? A lot of women and a lot of single moms and a lot of married women are handling all that now.
Sure.
So taking a shot with me. So I hope I do good for him.
Well, that's exciting. And I love that that he is aware of the demographics and the possibilities against your audience. I think that's
fantastic. He had to be convinced.
Male?
He had to be convinced by a female AE. Who was a very good salesman, and she's my
number one champion.
She did
a great job, and I have no doubt you're going to do an equally good job for them.
I feel like I'm on a little probation period. We'll see.
Well, good luck. We'll check back with you to see how it's going.
Thank you.
As you know, there's so many statements that are made about radio and a lot of misperceptions of radio, but you are touched by listeners every single day. So from your perspective, Kelly, what do you think of the future of radio and what do you think it looks like?
You know what? There's some people that are doom and gloom, and it's, you know, we all should be, you know, start, you know, coming up with our contingency plans and things like that. And I just don't have that perspective. When I go to things like, you know, the morning show boot camp that's coming up and other these, and we're all there together, we're like, we're all still in this fight and we're all still passionate about our careers. I just feel like, you know, we're passionate enough about it. We still have a passionate audience out there that is craving relationships. They want that genuine, real relationship with us. I'm not just somebody reading the time and temperature and introducing the next song. I've developed relationships with people, and I think people crave that, especially now we're getting into such a non-human contact. I don't know the right word. Everything is automated and you're not talking to people anymore, and it's all pressing buttons. And I think people are just going to start craving that human connection again. That's the word I was looking for.
Right.
People are going to crave that human connection. And where else are they going to find it? You know, it's going to be right there in their cars, on their radios, on their drives. You know, I know people love their music, but I think they also want to hear their friends on the radio. Mm-hmm. People move, you know, like I said earlier, we have so many people moving to Texas, relocating. And we hear from people, you know, after they lived for a few years, and they'll tell us, you know, when I moved to this town, I didn't know anybody and you were my only friends. I get like chills just saying that.
Absolutely.
I get like teary and choked up thinking that. They're like, you were my only friends until I started meeting people for like, you know, 6-7 months. And that just, you know, and so that means something. So I'm optimistic that there's still a market and there's still life in radio. We just have to tap into that and remind people that we are that human connection that I think people still ultimately crave.
Mm-hmm. If you could complete the sentence, radio works because.
Oh, girl, I wish you'd gave me this like yesterday so I'd have a whole day to think about it. Radio works because I think it's because of that human connection. Like I was talking about, it's still that human connection. It's that feeling you get, you know, thinking back to your childhood memories of listening to your favorite DJs, of where you were, you know, when that song was playing in the car and those special memories. I think it's the human connection. I think that's what makes radio work.
And radio matters because?
Radio matters because we make a difference. We can make a true difference in people's lives. It might not be always, you know, where we can see it as the radio personality, but we have people out there that the only laughter and the only bright part of their day is us. Mm-hmm. And we matter. We matter in so many people's lives, and they don't always take the time to let us know that. But from the people I have heard from, I think it matters because we are making a difference. Mm-hmm.
The one last thing I do want to mention and share a little bit about is, in addition to you entertaining your audience, you also have been very involved with the community, and public service has always been a part of this show. And can you share a little bit about that, Kelly?
Well, Kid was the one that really showed me how important it was to give back, you know, what is the saying, to whom much is given, much is required? Is that how it says? Mm-hmm. But we are so blessed. And if we could just merely mentioning a charity can make a difference, you know, just showing up at an event, it can make, you know, such a huge difference. So it's just a small thing you can do. And it makes such a difference and so impactful in so many people's lives. So he's the one that showed me that. He started, you know, the Kids Charity, which still continues to thrive. His intention was, after he, you know, had long retired from the radio, for the charity to continue. And now that he's passed away, the charity still continues, which is just a testament to, you know, his mission, you know, his whole purpose in life. And so I think that's just, he kind of instilled that in me. You know, we all want to do good and we all think nice thoughts and you want to write a check and say, oh, that makes me feel good. But to actually be a part and do some hands-on things in the community, I think is important too. And it just goes back to building that connection with the community, because, you know, when Kid passed away, the community, because they had grown up with him, he'd been out there in the community so hands-on and in people's faces for decades, that everybody was rooting for us. They did not want the show to fail. They were rooting for us because of their love for Kid, because of what he had done. Right. So it all, you know, it all circled back. So being a part of your community, I think, is important for your own survival too.
Well, as I said, it's a very rare thing to have a show lose their primary host, if you will, and continue that name as the show continues to grow and prosper. So, you know, big congratulations to you and your amazing career and this incredible ensemble that you work with.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, it would not have, I don't think if this show had been based out of anywhere else in the country, I don't know that it would still be on the air today. There's just something about the Dallas-Fort Worth community. And, you know, like I said, the foundation that Kid built there, this community really rooted for us and cheered us on and kept supporting us. And I don't know that this would have worked anywhere else in the country. So I'm really happy that I wasn't born in Texas, but as they say, you get here as quick as you can. And so I'm just really thankful that we're still able to carry on his legacy and still able to make a difference.
Kid used to tell Kelly, go out and lead an interesting life, then go on the air and talk about it. The show is part of so many people's memories, their history, and Kelly feels like she's making a difference in people's lives. She describes the show as a burning light into some very dark times. And when she asks herself the question, what's my purpose? Well, she's come to realize she's doing it every day on the radio.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.